Okay, today we are reviewing in the Drasha Saran, Drush number 9. Okay, so this Drasha is basically about Parshas Vayeshanan. So, Niran starts off saying that there are two ways you can help a person correct their ways. One is to tell them what they did wrong and give them mussar, rebuke. The other way is to tell them that they're super great, they're super great people, they can reach great heights, and that they're always loved unconditionally. So those are two ways that you can encourage people to try to notch up, telling them what they did wrong, and also telling them about their potential and how they're always loved. So that's exactly what Moshe did in Parshas Devarim and Vayeshanan. Parshas Devarim was all mussar, all Moshe saying you did this wrong, you did that wrong. It's all rebuke. Whereas Parshas Vayeshanan, says the Ran, is all the opposite. It's all Moshe telling them how beloved they are to Hashem and how great they are and how much Hashem loves them no matter what they do. So, as an example, in Devarim, Moshe says that he hit the rock and he was punished biglalchem, because of you. So that's like an accusatory thing, because you people caused it to me, because you said... you complained that you thought I couldn't get water out of the rock, so you got me angry or whatever. You say it all happened because of you. That's what it says. Biglalchem in Devarim, and Vayeshanan it says Vayesaber Hashem bi lema'anchem. Hashem got angry at me in your honor, meaning to say that the reason why Hashem is so upset at me about hitting the rock and all this tshuva and all this davening I did to try to get into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem's still not listening to me. It's l'man chem, because Hashem's standing up for your honor, because I, Moshe, got angry at you too much or in a way that was inappropriate on some level. So in your honor, Hashem is not forgiving me. So the whole parsha is talking about how great Bnei Yisrael is to Hashem. Okay, so the Ran briefly gets into the aveira of Moshe hitting the rock. Some say that the Avera itself was that Moshe got angry. I think that was the Rambam. And the Ran says that they may have caused the mistake, but the mistake was not itself getting angry, but the Avera was hitting the rock, which he discussed in another drasha, was an Avera. He wasn't supposed to hit the rock, he was supposed to talk to the rock, because it's a long piece. The Ran said in the other thing, but basically because Hashem wanted him to... just have the staff, the miraculous stick of Moshe was supposed to be nearby, but Moshe was supposed to talk to the stick, to the rock, and that was, and then when Moshe hit the rock, so it didn't work perfectly, and then it only dripped a little bit, then Moshe hit it again, and it flowed a lot, and that whole thing looked more trickery. That was a Chilul Hashem, and that's why, well, that was what the Avera was. Okay, but the point of the thing was that why didn't Hashem forgive Moshe, which he just briefly explained. But in other words, Hashem, you would think Hashem would forgive Moshe in the sense that even though it's true, Hashem deals with his tzaddikim very severely. It's like when, if someone misbehaves in class as the class clown, they get their usual punishment. But if the best kid in the class does something a lot less, but still for that kid's level, it's bad, so the teacher may treat them the same. It's the same with Hashem. When a big Rasha does something terrible, okay, that's the way the guy is. But when a big tzaddik does something a little bit bad, and on his level, it's the same level of not caring about what they're supposed to be doing, so they get treated more severely. But either way, it's true that Hashem deals with tzaddikim on a more stringent level, but still, if a Rasha does a very bad aver, he does tshuva, Hashem would accept it. So why, if the tzaddik does tshuva, does Hashem not accept it? How come Moshe, with all his tefillos, wasn't able to at least get punished some other way and be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael? And that's the point. The point is, that's why Moshe talks about it in Vayeshanan, to say, Vayesav Hashem bilamanchem, Hashem's not forgiving me, because part of what happened here was a zilzil in your honor. It was that he talked to Bnei Yisrael inappropriately. And that was part of the Avera. So in their honor, Hashem was not forgiving Moshe. Okay, and then the Pesukim go on to say, Vanesha Bagai Mul Beis Peor. Moshe says we were next to Beis Peor, which was a way of reminding them about the Avera of Baal Peor. But says the Ran, I told you this parasha is not trying to tell them what they did wrong. So the point is, like the Medrash says, it says, Vanesha Bagai Mul Beis Peor, and then the very next line is Vata Yisrael, and here you are Yisrael, which the Medrash makes a drasha on that. that the reason those two are together is to say that even though you Jews sinned with Beis Por, still of Ata Yisrael, Ata with an ayin. Now you Yisrael, it's like you're a new people. Hashem forgave you, and it's like you never did the Avera. So Moshe is telling them, you did this horrible Avera of Avodah Zarah. What does Hashem do? He forgives you. I do this little teeny thing. What happens? Hashem will never forgive me. Why? Because it was Hashem is standing up for your honor that I got angry at you, and that's why he's not forgiving me, so you see how beloved you are to Hashem. Okay, Chazal, he goes on to tell us, Chazal, tell us many times to be very careful with the honor of the Jewish people, because they're so great. And we find many other reasons why the Tzibur is great. We find that to have the Shechina Sharad, the Shechina to rest, you need a minion of 10 people. Sometimes there are different numbers given in Chazal. Sometimes you need, for a higher level of Shechina, you need more people, right? 600,000 Jews, and different level, 22,000. There's different levels, numbers given in Chazal where the Shechina is Shura. So the more people are around, the more the Shechina is Shura, because the honor of the Jewish people is very great. Okay, then he goes on to say that for a person to get Nevuah, they can't just jump into it. In other words, to connect to God is a pretty big thing, because God has absolutely no connection to human beings, in the sense that he's God and we're human. So if you want to take a very physical thing and even in any way notch it up to get to Nevuah, which is connecting to God in some way, so you have to go in levels. You can't just connect directly. So he says that's why when Hashem appeared to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, it says that it was Choshech Anan V'Arafel. And that those way, darkness, thickness, clouds, that's the Ran says, those are ways of saying that for us to hear Hashem and Har Sinai, and for all the Jewish people to get Nevuah, there had to be these physical intermediaries, something that we connect through those, notching up in some way to connect to Ruchnius like that. We can't just get it directly. We had to get it filtered. Whereas when Hashem spoke to Moshe, it was only through Av HaAnan, which was a lesser level, not three. Choshech Anan V'Arafel, it was just the cloud, whatever that was. And the point of him going, that's what the Pasuk says, that Hashem appeared to Moshe Ba'av HaAnan. The full Pasuk is, it's in Shmos. It says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hinei Anochi Elecha Ba'av HaAnan. So Hashem says to Moshe, I'm coming to you in the thickness of the cloud. It's not the regular Anan that Hashem speaks to Moshe through. It's Av HaAnan, the thick Anan, Ba'avor Yishma'a Amidabri Yimach, so that the people can connect, and they'll trust in you. So this is the same idea the Ran says, that for regular people to try to get Nevuah, and certainly a Nevuah like the level of Har Sinai, outside, even though it's always somewhat miraculous, because man can't connect to God, but it was an even higher level miracle to get everybody in Bnei Yisrael to get Nevuah, so, and especially the high level of Nevuah at Har Sinai, so what Hashem did was that he had this thick cloud. And the reason why Moshe needed a thick cloud, even though Moshe didn't need it, was because he was going to speak to the Jewish people that way. And this way, everyone would know that since Moshe got Nevuah through Av HaAnan, and everybody else got it too, so everyone knows that Moshe's Nevuah is true because they got Nevuah through Moshe. Okay, so that's the idea of the Choshech Anan V'Arafel and the different ways that the Torah describes when Hashem spoke to the Jewish people. Okay, the next thing he says is that when someone wants to, this is again talking about the honor of a tzibur, that when someone, he gives as a mashal, a parable, if somebody wants to, has a lot of things to give over. So let's say he's good at, I don't know what, dance, art, and history. Okay, so he has a couple people sitting in the audience. Certain people are very good at history, some people are really good at art, and there's nobody good at dance. So the person isn't giving over everything they have to give. If they have a really large group of people who they're teaching to, so then they can have students that they can connect to, that they can give over their expertise in dance, they can give over their expertise in art, they can give expertise in history, whatever the person has to knows and can give over, so he's only, or she is only given over everything they have to give. They've come to their shlemus of giving if they have only if they have the students that can receive. So same thing, another reason why the Shechina is only Shora on Klal Yisrael when there's tons of Jews around, the more Jews, the more Shechina, with various different numbers, is because when you have a larger group, so Hashem, whatever this means, Hashem has different things to give, different ashpos. He wants to give to the Jewish people. So the Shekhinah is only sure when there's people who can get every aspect that Hashem wants to give, because that's the shleimus of it, that's the fulfillment of it. Okay, next he says that the pasuk says Va'es Hanan. It says that Moshe asked, Hanan comes from Chinam, for free. Moshe asked for a gift, that Hashem should not forgive him because Moshe is such a great guy, but just as a gift, Hashem should forgive him. So the Rana asks, why does Moshe have to do that? So he says, because tzaddikim appreciate how great Hashem is. They have a better concept of how great Hashem is, and therefore how terrible sin is. So the concept to them of forgiveness is crazy. I mean, it's how could you forgive? It's so terrible. How could it be forgiven? So they just ask Hashem to give them a gift. They know Hashem forgives, but they're not saying because I deserve it, because they know how terrible an aver is. Therefore, he was asking as a gift. And that's why we say that tzaddikim are osin me'avam v'smechin b'yisurin. They do mitzvos out of love of Hashem, and they're happy with yisurin because they know it's a small price to pay for the terrible avera they did. And the Ran continues, besides that, to get tshuva, you need to recognize the sin you did. So if you pretend you didn't do it, then that's not too helpful. So he says that's why the Nabi Hosea says that when Hashem heals the Jews, it'll be v'nigla avon Ephraim. That's the pasuk in Hosea says that when Hashem heals the Jews, it'll be revealed the sin of Ephraim. That's when Mashiach comes. V'nigla avon Ephraim. So that's the why would you think that? You know, when Mashiach comes, it says, "Vayamim mehem ba'isahi yivukash asavani sol ve'enenu." It says when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to look for the sins of Bnei Yisrael and not find it. So what does it mean that when Hashem heals the Jews, their aviras will be revealed? So that's what the Ran says, that it's it's an order. First, it has to be that their sins are revealed, meaning he says just like a doctor, if you want to heal a wound, you have to cut it open, reveal it, and then get out the gook, and then it'll heal nicely. But if you keep it covered over, it's not going to heal. So the same thing, for the Jewish people to heal, their aviras have to be revealed. And once they see their aviras, recognize them, and do tshuva for them, so then the avira is wiped away, and then it won't be found ever again. Okay, next, he says that Hashem punishes the Jewish people like a father punishes a child. So what does that mean? So the Ran says, the father always feels like he's punishing the child too much. Right, if a father has to hit their son, we don't do that today. But when people used to hit their kids, a loving father always feels like he's hurting his kid too much for what he did. And we know the father will never do to the child what the kid deserves. For example, let's say the child murdered someone. The father is not going to hang the kid. It's just not going to happen. So the father doesn't do what the child deserves, number one. Number two, whatever the child gives the kid as a punishment, he always feels like he's doing too much, at least in his heart. So he says that's what the... In the Haftorah of Parshas Vayetzchanan and Parshas in the Haftorah of Nachamu, the very first line there, it says, or second pasuk, it says, "Dabro lev Yerushalayim, talk to Yerushalayim, speak on its heart. Ki mala tzava, ki nirtza avona, tzaver has been forgiven. Ki lakcha miyad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoseh. Yerushalayim got double what it did in its sins." So the Ran says, what on earth does that mean? Hashem punished Yerushalayim double what they deserved? Why would Hashem do that? He says that's what it means, what we just said, that when a father punishes a child, has to hit the child, he feels like he's doing too much. He punished the child too much. A loving father doesn't want to hit their kids, and anything they do, they feel like it was too much what they did. So that's what the pasuk means. Ki lakcham yad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoseh. It's like kabiyachal. Hashem feels he gave us double what we need, what we deserved, because Hashem is a loving father. Okay, so Moshe realizes the gravity of his sin, and therefore he doesn't daven right away that Hashem, when he hits the rock, that's not when when he davens that Hashem should forgive him. Rather, it says Va'eschanan al Hashem ba'ishahi. At that time, it was not at the time when Moshe did the avera. Rather, it was at the time of the war of Sichon and Og. After Sichon and Og were destroyed, so Moshe thought that was a good time to ask for a present, because Hashem had just done a great nace for the Jewish people, so for whatever the reason was, Moshe felt that was a good time to ask for this gift. So that's why he asked for it then, because he was just asking for a present, so to speak. Okay, then the psukim continue. Atah ilosa laharosis avdecha eskadlecha. You began to show, Moshe says, you began to show your servant all your greatness. So the Ran says he doesn't like any of the Purushim out there. He quotes the Ben Ezra that says that it means that you only showed me, atah hachilosa means you started to show me. Ibn Ezra says it means you only started to show me because Hashem, your miracles are ein sof, it's infinite, your miracles. So whatever I saw in Mitzrayim and everything, It was all just the beginning. So the Ran doesn't like that, because then it's, how does it continue? Ebra Nav Erel. Let me go forth into Eretz Yisrael and see Eretz Yisrael. What does that have to do with anything? Hashem, you started showing me your miracles. Let me go into Eretz Yisrael. What does one have to do with the other? So the Ran says, what it means is that he's saying, Ata Hachilosa, you Hashem started. I Moshe, I was not deserving to see any miracles. But you Hashem, you began to show me miracles anyway, even though I wasn't deserving of it. So since you helped me, you did for me even though I wasn't deserving, and you did miracles for me, so can you also please do something that I'm not deserving of either? Let me go into Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Ran understands it. Okay, and then when he says the word Ere, I should see Eretz Yisrael, so the Ran says that's probably Lav Dafka, because Moshe wasn't interested in seeing it. He was interested in doing the mitzvos, like Chazal tell us, he was interested in doing the mitzvos until he was Ba'aretz, keeping Shemitah and giving Trumas HaMaisos, that kind of thing. So the Ran first says that it's probably Lav Dafka. Era doesn't mean literally to see. Or it's possible, the Ran says, that it does mean to see, and Moshe was just trying to start slow. Let me at least go in and see, and you know, maybe then he could ask for more. Or the Ran says, lastly, possibly he said Era, he was trying to, trying to show the Bnei Yisrael how great they were, that Hashem wouldn't let me even come in to see. Because Hashem loves you Jews so much, he wouldn't forgive me for the aver of getting upset when I shouldn't have, or be acting the way he shouldn't have with Bnei Israel. Okay, then it says Hashem gave you chukim and mishpatim. And it says people will see you doing the chukim and they'll say Rak am chacham v'navon ha'am ha'amazeh. People will see the Jewish people doing the chukim. The chukim are the mitzvahs that we don't know the reason for, and they'll say, wow, this is a really smart nation. So the Ran asks, that seems counterintuitive. If you see people doing mishpatim are mitzvahs that make sense. So then I understand why you would say, oh, the people are seeing you doing mishpatim. They see you doing things that make sense, punishing people who steal. So then they'll say how smart you are. But what does it mean they see you doing chukim? That means they see you not wearing shatnez, or, you know, bringing karbanos. That's the Ran's example, actually, bringing karbanos, as he brings as a chok. So he says they'll see you doing those things that they don't see what the point of that is, and they'll say how smart you are. We've seen many times in Rashi, at least, it says, you know, that's what the Gaon make fun of us about. Or that at least our Yitzhar tells us are silly and we're embarrassed about. So the Ran says, no. He says that when you keep all the mitzvahs and the chukim, you'll see the Shekhinah Shara with you. And people will see that Hashem's presence is with you and miracles happen all the time. Then they'll say, wow, I guess those things work. Look, they do all this stuff, but it obviously brings God close to them, so they must be a brilliant people. Because whatever they're doing, it's working. And that's why it says specifically chukim, because if you do something crazy and it works, it's even more shocking. People pay attention more. So they'll see you're doing these chukim, and they'll see, well, but God is especially with you. So then they'll say, wow, this is a super smart nation. And then it continues then that they'll see you're doing chukim and mishpatim tzadikim, because once they see, first of all, they'll see the chukim work. And second of all, when someone does things that make sense and things that you don't understand, you can assume then the things that you don't understand probably have a reason to. Okay, then it continues. Raki Shamer Lach Pentishkach, it says, be careful, do not forget that you didn't see any, that at Harsina you didn't see any pictures. So what does that mean? So the Ran says, it means that they heard a voice, they heard Hashem talking, right? So you might think that Hashem is somewhat physical, so Hashem specifically only did voice, no pictures, even though that'd be a much easier way to remember it, Har Sinai, because pictures would lead people to Avodah Zarah. He made a voice. Hashem made sound waves appear, you know, sound waves occur. So there was a voice heard, but it wasn't. Hashem doesn't have any physical body. That's why he had to warn them, be careful. You didn't see any pictures. There's no physicality here. And he says that Pentashkus, unless you go off and think Hashem has a body, which of course he does not. And he says, therefore, the Torah has lots of those essays about Avodah Zarah. That's why there's so many times the Torah talks about Avodah Zarah. And secondly, is because people in former times were very drawn to Avodah Zarah, which is why the Torah warns you about it so many times, like the famous story by Achav, that the Gemara brings that says, there was an Amora who was talking about Achav, and he said, tomorrow we'll talk about our friend, and he meant Achav. And Achav came to him in a dream, and he said, I'm your friend, really? Can you tell me where you're supposed to slice the bread to make the bracha? And he didn't know. And he told him, you're supposed to slice it at the edges, and... I believe, and he said, so I'm a bigger Talmud Chacham than you, Achav says, and you're calling me your friend. So the Amora said, okay, well, why'd you worship Avodah Zarah? So the Achav said, if you would have been in my generation, you would have ran to do Avodah Zarah. So it was a big, strong drive in those days to worship Avodah Zarah, which we do not have today. Either it was it was some kind of drive, either an actual desire, whatever it was. It sounds like there was an actual desire, but the Ran is talking about that it was something that everybody wanted to do. And moreover, it worked. When they worshipped Avodah Zarah, the people in former times knew how to do Avodah Zarah, like that they would worship an ox, and there's a thing called in Shamayim, that's a concept of shore, and somehow through worshipping the idol, they were able to get the Ruchnius down through their idol, and they got stuff from it. Anyway, so the Rana says, this explains why it's in the middle of the punishment. In other words, Hashem says, if you do Avodah Zarah, you'll get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, and you'll worship Avodah Zarah over there. Why is that in the punishment? That doesn't sound like a punishment. So Unkelus there says that you'll have to work for people who worship Avodah Zarah. That's why it's in the punishments. But the Rana says, no, this is the pshat. You'll worship Avodah Zarah in Israel, and you'll know what you're doing. Then you'll get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. You'll be stuck in foreign lands. You'll forget all about Ruchnius, and the people who worship Avodah Zarah will just keep going on worshiping Avodah Zarah, but it's not going to do anything for them, because they're not going to know what they're doing. They're just going to bow down, not knowing what they're supposed to have in mind and how the whole thing works. So they're just going to be stupid worshiping Avodah Zarah, like everyone does today who worships Avodah Zarah. So they're going to be, not only are they going to be worshiping Avodah Zarah, doing the Avera, they're not going to get anything out of it, because they don't know what they're doing. Okay. He says, then he continues to say that the Rambam understood Avodah Zarah, how it started differently from the way the Ran understands it. The Rambam understands that people started worshipping Avodah Zarah because they said a way to worship Hashem is by worshipping his servants. So since the sun and the moon and the stars, those all are Shamashim to Hashem, they all serve Hashem. So it's like bowing down to the minister of the king is an honor to the king. They figured if they bowed down to the sun, it's a way to honor the sun, and then eventually just started bowing down to the sun, forgetting about Hashem. The Ran says, maybe the Rambam saw that in a Medrash, maybe he saw it in a history book, but the Ran thinks it's more than that. The Ran thinks it's people started doing it because it makes a lot of sense. He says that, the Ran says, people worship Avodah Zarah, and this is a big point for the Ran, people worship Avodah Zarah because they believed in what the philosophers said. The philosophers said that God is too great. They believed that there was a God, but God doesn't care about human beings. Why on earth would God care about human beings? God doesn't have a ratzon in the sense that Hashem has, I want this. God's too great for that. God created the world, that's true, but just it had to be. It had to be created by God, however you understand that idea. But it's not because God cares about us at all. And anyone who says otherwise, they thought, was just lowering God's stature. So if you want to get something, so what you need to do is worship lower things, physical things. And then if you know what you're doing, you can get the Ruchnias down to you. That's the way Avodah Zarah worked. And to think that God cares about what you do, they would say that that's a big Avera. Avodah Zarah is the thing that makes sense. So that's why the Torah tells you many times, no, it's not true, Avodah Zarah is terrible. That's why Hashem keeps saying it, because logically you would think that Avodah Zarah makes sense. And this is how the Ran understands. It says, remember the Aseret HaDibros, the first two we heard from Hashem. So the Ran says, why the first two? The first two say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God who took you out of Egypt. Don't have other gods. So the Ran says, I would think if you wanted to ask me which are the best mitzvahs, if we're going to hear two mitzvahs from God, so maybe say shatnez, you know, things that are like hard to believe. Or you would say, really, Hashem said that? Things that are hard to understand, but things that there's a God. The Rambam says the first mitzvah is to believe that there is a God. Forget the Torah Misinai, that there is a God. That's the first mitzvah. Shenemar Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the Ran says, that's obvious. Of course there's a God. People didn't think they weren't God. The Ran says it's ridiculous to think that there's nothing that created the universe. Of course there's a God. So if we were going to hear two mitzvahs from Hashem, why would it be mitzvahs that are obvious? Of course there's a God. We want to hear shatnez. So the Ran says no, because he disagrees with the Rambam. And he says that the first mitzvah is not that there is a God, but there is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am your God. I care about what you do. I have a connection to this world. It's not important to me. And therefore he gave them a mitzvah. Don't do other gods. Because number one, that's not intuitive, and it's part of this whole idea that Hashem does care about us, and it doesn't make sense to worship other idols. Or the Ran says, possibly it's just because he said, I care, and I care what you do. He had to give us some mitzvah, so he picked that one because it's the big one. But either way, the first mitzvah, according to the Ran, is to believe that Hashem has a connection to us, cares about us. That's the first mitzvah, to believe in that. And he says, the reason why we had to hear that directly from Hashem is it's just like a mashal to a minister. If the minister, a minister of the king says he wants you to spit in his face today. So you would say, I'm not doing that until the king tells me to spit in his face. So the same thing, if Moshe would say, Hashem cares about you, and he doesn't want you to worship other idols, he wants you to worship him directly. So if you believe like the others, like the philosophers, so then that's lowering God's stature. You think he cares about you. So you had to hear from the king. The king says, no, I do care about you. I want you to worship me directly. Okay, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim learns that the first two dibros that we heard, Mipi HaGvura, so the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says, what it means, Mipi HaGvura, is not that we heard it from Hashem, it's just that it's as if we heard it from Hashem, since the existence of God is such an obvious thing, so therefore it's as if we heard it from God. But the Rambam, of course, disagrees, like we said, he actually heard it from God. And then the Psukim go on to say that the punishment, if a people do worship Avodah Zarah, the punishment for Avodah Zarah will come fast and furious, and we'll get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. But if we do tshuva when we're in the Goyish lands, when we're already kicked out, if we try to do tshuva over there, we'll find Hashem even outside the land of Israel. In other words, Hashem Shechina is Yeshura in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, but if we try to do tshuva even outside of Eretz Yisrael, we'll find Hashem there too. And then it says that when things batzar lecho, when things go bad, and you return to Hashem. And then later on, it says a few pesukim later, it says kisha al nalayam and rishonim, and you'll start thinking about the earlier days. Had any other nation ever seen such miracles? What is the connection, the Ran asks, between saying that batzar lecho mitzucha, that you'll return to Hashem when things go bad, and then saying, and if you'll ask what happened in former times, has any other nation seen such great miracles? What's the connection? The Ramban says the connection is it's saying, it's not really connected to the thing before about doing tshuva. It's saying, I talked to you before you got kicked out. The psukim had said, don't do Avodah Zarah, and now it's coming to tell you why it's so terrible to do Avodah Zarah, because Hashem was so nice to you. So the Ran says that that's dochik tam, and rather, it means that Hashem will accept tshuva. The reason it's saying, batzar lecho mitzucha, if you do tshuva, even though you have a gun to your head, even though you're only doing tshuva because things are going bad, still Hashem will accept your tshuva. And if you'll say that Hashem, will Hashem do such a thing, accept tshuva when there's a gun to your head, so Hashem, it's saying Hashem loves you. Look, he did all these amazing things to you, and Hashem really loves you, therefore he did all these miracles, and therefore Hashem will accept your tshuva, even though it's only out of the fact that things are going rough. But the Ran qualifies, it better be a real tshuva. That's why it says, you have to return to Hashem b'chol levav, b'chol nafshcha, with all your heart and your soul. What does that mean? That means, it's not the sort of tshuva that as soon as the gun is removed from your head, you go back to your old ways. That's not the kind of tshuva that'll bring a geula. If you want a tshuva that will bring a geula, so then even though we're doing tshuva because things went bad, that's okay, Hashem will accept it as long as it's long-lasting. As long as it's real, it makes a person return to Hashem for real, and that even when the tzara goes away, they keep close to Hashem. And the Ran finishes off that even if you don't reach that level, even if you're only doing tshuva while things are going bad, it won't lead to geula, but at least lower the yisurin, it'll lower the pain of the punishment that the person is receiving. That is the end of the review of Drasha number 9. Did it real quick, but that's the basic gist. And Yitzhak Hashem, next time we will start Drasha number 10.